finished about doubt.
And so here's the part, the dedication part. It says, through these praises and requests made to you, quell conditions unfavorable for Dharma practice, and let us have long life, merit, glory, plenty, and other conducive conditions as we wish. That's like the dedication verse after we've been requesting Tara for her inspiration to deal with these various dangers. Okay, so to review what they are our favorite. The lion of pride, the elephant of ignorance, the fire of anger, the snake of jealousy, the thieves of distorted views, the chain of miserliness, the flood of attachment, and then the carnivorous demon of doubt. So they're in the How to Free Your Mind, and it's a very beautiful requesting prayer from Tara. So one thing that is in common with all those afflictions that we're requesting Tara's help with is that they arise in our mind one right after the other, don't they? And we often like to think of ourselves as very accomplished practitioners and spiritual people, don't we? You know, we're not like the rest of those people out in society who are so greedy, who lie, you know, who have addiction problems, who are stealing, you know, the politicians. We're not like those people. We're not like the people who are an automatic, you know, just going through their life in the old way seeking pleasure. We are holy spiritual people. We've been practicing so long, you know. 3 months. Maybe 3 years, even 30 years, you know. But, you know, we're very holy, we're very realized. Almost bodhisattvas, maybe by next week. But yet all these afflictions are coming in our mind right one after the other. So there's some discordance here. Yeah? But we don't like to acknowledge that there's discordance. You know, we're kind of caught up in our image. And we like to think that way of ourselves, that we're very holy. And we like to portray that image in front of other people too. You know, create that. I am somebody who can teach you. You know, and yet our mind is bonkers. Our mind is crazy. Yeah. And so it's hard to admit that to ourselves. And it's embarrassing to admit it to others. And so we often just totally block it out and say, oh, I'm fine. Yeah, you know that one? Yeah. You're talking to whoever you're working with. And the person you're working with says, sounds like you're upset. No, I'm not upset! Yeah? That's how we are, aren't we? Yeah. I'm not upset. You're projecting your stuff on me. Leave me alone. Because we're very spiritual practitioners. So we don't get upset. So there's nothing to acknowledge. But you see, this is the thing about living in community, is everybody knows we're upset, no matter whether we say we aren't or not. Yeah. And when we're greedy, everybody knows that we're greedy, whether we admit it or not. Sometimes we're the last ones to know. Yeah. Everybody else knows very well. Oh, so-and-so has a problem with jealousy. So-and-so has a problem with arrogance. Those people have no idea. You know? Comes as a big surprise. Sometime you're doing retreat. Oh, I have a problem with jealousy. You know? And then, you know, of course the whole community knows that. What took you so long? But this is the way we are, isn't it? So it's sometimes a very, very humbling experience, you know, to have to admit really, you know, that we're just kind of like everybody else. You know, we want to be happy, we don't want to suffer, our mind's filled with rubbish, and we're so fortunate we've met the Dharma. But it's a very humbling experience to admit that. But it's a very important thing that we do that, you know. And this is the kind of transparency that we create in community, you know, because you can't hold on to your trips too long. What we try. But, you know, our trips kind of get busted up by living in community because there's nowhere we can go to hide. You know, when you live on your own, you can go somewhere to hide. But when you live in community, especially when it's snowing outside, where are you going to go to hide?
Follow your tracks.
You know? You can't stay outdoors in the snow too long. The summer maybe it's easier. You know, eventually you have to come in here for food. And, you know, and so it's this thing of becoming comfortable with who we are. Yeah, we're imperfect beings. Yeah, our mind, you know, we lose it sometimes. And we have afflictions. And that's okay. Everybody knows it. We can admit it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just what reality is. Huh. Yeah. So, we admit it, and then that can bring a lot of self-acceptance. And the self-acceptance is one of the key things we need to start remedying our afflictions and applying the antidotes to our afflictions. Because if we don't accept that we have them, and we don't accept ourselves for having them, then we're not going to be open to applying antidotes because we think we don't need to. Because of course it's everybody else's fault. You know, that's a given, isn't it? So, you know, just kind of coming back to our humanness, you know? And just being who we are and admitting it and feeling okay with it and working on it at the same time. Yeah. And so it's all very human. It's very normal. And I think, you know, the Bodhisattva practice has to be very human and very normal in that way. It's not about, you know, being some exotic person who radiates light in the atmosphere, who everybody sees and falls to their knees in front of, going like this. I mean, of course, in the sutras, the bodhisattvas may be depicted like that, but they're in the Pure Land. You look at the example of His Holiness Dalai Lama, and that's not the way he is. He's just very normal. Very normal. And feels completely comfortable with it. So this is kind of a model for us.